joining the crew at the Geek Tank. At the Geek Tank, the Rocky Mountain Geek Tank.
Hi, I'm Guy.
Hi, I'm Troy.
And I am Abby.
And this is Geek Tank on the Go,
your commuter-sized podcast, and maybe in the future, maybe a Netflix-exclusive podcast.
Netflix-exclusive
I highly podcast. Doubt it, but I'm going to say it anyway.
They'd pay better than, you know, nothing.
Yeah, which is what we get now.
Yeah, we're at nothing. we're here at Enchanted Grounds today, hanging out with our good friend Abby.
Hey.
Who has joined us because we are talking comics, and she's our comic expert.
At least that's what they say.
Yeah, I would say out of all of us, you know more, which makes you the expert.
That makes you the expert.
Cool. Don't quiz me on that.
No.
They think I'm an expert. Doesn't mean I actually am.
Well, this episode is Marvelous Netflix.
Marvelous Netflix.
Specifically focusing on the three Netflix-exclusive Marvel, the comic book show, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage.
If the title didn't clue you into that.
Yeah. You never know. And, you know, I was thinking, too, some people might not even know what Netflix is. I know that's a hard concept to grasp.
Sad.
So Netflix is an on-demand, over-the-internet entertainment source, and I think it's like $10 a month. If you can either choose on a streaming or DVD service or both.
Right.
And so it's like half the price for one or the other, or pay double to get both.
And Netflix is pretty much single-handedly the reason why Blockbuster died in Hollywood Video. Because they pretty much took them out.
Yeah, I think before Netflix...
I'm just saying.
Yeah, Netflix probably was the nail in the coffin. But before that, you had like Amazon doing some streaming.
Well, Redbox really helped with that too.
Yeah.
Really helped with that.
Yeah.
So now that you're caught up on that...
Now let's talk about the meat of our story.
So Netflix started doing exclusives, which is stuff that you can only see through Netflix. Before that, they were... getting the license to show other TV shows and movies that were already in existence. And one of the shows that they picked up and are funding is Daredevil, which is based off of the comic book character Daredevil. Daredevil was created by writer-editor Stan Lee, good old Stan Lee, and artist Bill Everett.
Which, by the way, Stan Lee is doing a cameo right there. Okay, now he's done.
Yep. Stan Lee hasn't done any cameos in any of these.
No, he hasn't. I was actually about to say that. I have not seen him in any of these shows. But, again, it's a show. It's not a movie. He's usually used to doing his cameos in movies.
Right, because it's a one-time commitment.
Probably these true. Shows are going to be ongoing. Hopefully, we're all crossing our fingers because they're all pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think he's going to last long enough to be able to do cameos in each season. So I think he's just kind of sticking. Well, yeah, and he has cancer, so that's a thing too. So yeah. I think he's going to kind of just stick to the movies right now.
Did a whole bunch of cameos all at once recently.
Yeah, and he's trying to get in every movie he can. Like he even tried to get in some DC ones, which I'm like,
what?
Stan Lee, you're a Marvel guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Step off.
He's the creator of Marvel, pretty much the father. But the artist of the original Daredevil, Bill Everett, and there's apparently an unspecified amount of input from Jack Kirby, and I guess they weren't able to confirm how much. So, but his name is tied into that. Jack Kirby, another big name in comics,
and the
character,
Age.
Yep, character Daredevil first appeared in Daredevil number one in 1964, of which I've not read.
Convenient, you know, being in that first issue of Daredevil.
Yeah,
you would think that Daredevil would be there. So that's good. That's good to know.
For those of you not familiar with comics, sometimes comic book characters make a cameo in a comic, and then it's like a test the water to see what the response is.
Or sometimes they just start like Batman out in action comics.
Detective,
and you're like, that's nice.
Detective Comics.
Yeah. Which is funny.
Superman was in Action Comics.
Yeah, but Batman didn't show up until episode. Issue 27 of Detective Comics. That was the very first sighting of him. So you're like, what was in those first 26 episodes? Episodes, issues. Oh my
gosh.
Have an
issue,
I am still sleeping.
By the way, I will point out that my two co-hosts today have had very little sleep.
Yeah, we both had rough nights sleeping.
We're chugging coffee.
We're trying,
which might make us worse. So sorry in advance.
But needless to say, we're not doing so good, and both of us are being really weird and flaky.
So I'll do my best to make up for that and be less flaky as usual. So first of all, I'd like to point out, and we were actually talking about this before we started recording, these Netflix shows are not for kids.
Yeah.
Not at all.
I would absolutely not recommend them for anybody under 13, and in some cases maybe even more than that. There's language, sex scenes, and a whole lot of violence and blood. which is what brought me there. I would guess if you're already letting your kids watch stuff like Game of Thrones and Walking Dead and CSI, you're not going to care, because I do know some parents who don't care. But
yeah, I happen to know that like Walking Dead is not safe for people. Some people who are under the age of say 50, because my wife won't get near Walking Dead.
Right.
So.
Well, you have to take into account that a lot of people, they see that it's a Marvel thing. They see that it's comic books. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's for kids, which is something that has happened with a lot of comic book movies in the past. Like Sin City, people are like, oh, it's a comic book movie. And then they bring like their 5-year-old and you're like,
Deadpool.
Deadpool was another one of those. And what's really funny is that the marketing for Deadpool was very much like, this is not, stop it, not for kids.
Right.
Keep
and then we still saw kids in the line.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, you guys did not pay attention to
that. Well, that, and it's like, well, it's obviously your fault. If your kid gets messed up now, it's not the studio. They warned you.
We had that problem with the anime conventions, because anime is not for kids. Some of it isn't. I mean, some of it is.
Yeah, they make some for kids. But
anime is a genre in Japan, not a. So, I mean, it's like black and white. It's like filming in black and white. You just choose to film in anime.
Yeah.
And so it was one of those things that the first anime conventions, we had the same problem. They'd go in tentacle porn and then with their 5-year-old, and we're like, whoa!
You know, hurry before they get to the door!
No!
I think that's a problem with comic books, too, because some parents think it's a comic book and they don't even look. But comic books also have ratings.
Oh, yeah.
So just my general advice for any parent out there. Watch it or read it before you let your child do that.
Or there's a lot of websites online where people have already done that, especially for like TV shows and movies. Go on to IMDb. They'll have the rating up there, and you click on that, it will tell you exactly why. What scenes are there, what language is used, all of that right on IMDb.com. Yeah. Totally suggest doing that if you're even slightly apprehensive about what was in it and you're not really wanting to see it yourself.
Yeah, and if you're a parent like me, where I'm backwards from society because nudity is okay for my kid, it's violence that I'm trying to keep away from my child, which apparently is reversed from the rest of the world, and I don't get that one.
Yeah.
Rest of America.
That's a good one. Yeah, rest of America.
That is something that, like, has always really weirded me out. Like, this was something with...
Yes.
Okay, this is something with Kick-Ass. Sorry.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm half asleep. Leave me be.
No, that's fine. That little pause there, by the way, was Abby asking if it was okay to say that. And knowing Guy, that pause is still going to be there when you hear this. So
No. I have to say, ones. No, we'll edit that out.
Mm-hmm. Whenever you hear that, you know it never will. But actually, he may. If you say something bad enough, he will beep it out.
I have a 40 kilohertz tone now. For saying.
Wow.
It's awesome.
Which will now be the name of your superhero, 40 kilohertz.
Yep. My superhero will be 40 kilohertz.
But that was something in Kick-Ass. Chloe Mortz, who played Hit Girl, which is the reason to watch that movie.
Oh, really?
She's freaking amazing. Not the second one. Don't watch the second one. It sucks. The first one's great. But there were people that were like shocked and awed about her language in the show, which is just words. You know, like whatever. She knows that they're not appropriate in regular speak because, she said a lot of... She said a lot of colorful words in that movie, but people were like up in arms about that, but not about the fact that she literally sliced people in half or like just like was extremely violent.
Yeah, the murder
violent.
She deals out, totally fine.
Oh, yeah, that's totally
but
okay.
Say
but,
some bad
oh
words.
My gosh.
Oh, no.
She said the F Why word and the C word. How dare.
It's the same kid that just killed somebody.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you not notice the fact that she just literally sliced a guy from... neck to navel.
The killing's fake, and the words are real. Oh, but it was horrible. Yeah, I saw an interview with her where
she
said her parents,
her own stuff. You know what I mean? You know, so even if you said, well, when she was on set, she didn't actually cut the guy in half. I'm like, yeah, but she watched the dailies.
Yeah,
and she watched.
I mean, it's,
when they were done.
And that's the thing too, is that it's like after the second one, which has Jim Carrey in it. He was like, during the filming of the movie, he was like, oh, yeah, I'm cool with this. And then when he saw the final thing, he's like, this is a lot more violent than I thought it was going to be. You know, like, they watch the stuff. They see it.
Yeah.
Which, and that's something, too. I'm like, Jim Carrey, did you not watch the first Kick-Ass movie?
Yeah.
Did you not realize how violent it's going to be? Did you not read the comic where your character literally gets his head chopped off and replaced with his dog's head? Come on.
Yep.
Did you miss that part?
You missed that part. I don't think they did that in the movie, though. I think that was only in the comic that they did that. They changed a lot from the comics.
Well, they ruined the second movie.
They jumped the shark, literally. So, I just killed Abby. Sorry.
Oh, that shark.
Oh, that shark.
Oh, that shark.
The question is, did it have lasers?
No.
It should have. That should've probably... Totally. No, that would have made it worse.
Freaking lasers.
So we've talked about so much that's not Daredevil right now.
Yeah, sorry. Going back to... Well, what's really cool is that Kick-Ass is a Marvel comic. It's just done through their Icon, which is like their little spin-off. Mm-hmm.
That's so. Their... That's the Disney spin-off thing that...
Touchstone?
Like, no, yeah, Touchstone and Disney has... What is the other one that's really... If it's really, really rough. But it's still Disney.
Yeah.
And it's like... It's just that they don't want to put out...
Well, Icon is really cool because it's like...
It's Buena Vista, Touchstone, and there's
one
other.
I think it was a gate in one of the titles.
Lionsgate?
Lionsgate?
I don't think it's Lionsgate.
I don't think it's Lionsgate either because that doesn't...
I think Lionsgate came from MGM.
Okay.
Anyway.
But yeah, Icon is like what Marvel does is that they're like, hey, we really like this comic writer and this artist, and they like each other, they're friends, let's just kind of let them do their own thing over here so that way they're happy and then they'll keep doing stuff for us type of thing. So you'll see a lot of like Mark Miller in there and other cool people. I'm just a Mark Miller fan, so
yeah.
If I just say Mark Miller,
here we go. Abby's on Mark Miller.
They probably did Kingsman too, then, right? They're probably the same film company did Kingsman.
Kingsman, yeah, I think so. Actually, yeah, but Mark Miller has actually been doing stuff for like Image recently and stuff like
right.
that.
Okay.
But yeah, I want to like. I think Empress, which is one of his, that just recently came out. I think that one is Icon as well, but. I'm not all here this morning, so I might be wrong, so don't quote me on those.
Nope.
And now we are quoting Abby.
So, no. Daredevil.
Daredevil.
Very first. Now, I had to give Guy homework assignment.
And I watched Daredevil 1.
The first episode of Daredevil. Not the first season.
First episode.
So, we might cause some spoilers for him, and we are sorry in advance.
Yeah, and so we'll try to be, for Guy's sake and for your sake, as spoiler-free as possible, but I can't make any promises. But the very opening scene. I found as a dad, kind of gut-wrenching.
Yeah, it was pretty awful.
Because you have the main character, Matt Murdock, as a kid, and they're showing his origin. It opens with his origin of how he became blind and got his
Abby
powers.
Abby is asleep.
I think she's trying to follow me.
It's been a while since I've seen the first episode.
So we have a kid in the street with a whole bunch of toxic waste gooshing out of, on the street.
Okay,
and the kid's crying.
Young Matt Murdock pushes a man out of the way of a truck. Which causes a crash, which causes a bunch of toxic super power goop to pour everywhere and hit him in his eyes,
and he lost his eyesight.
His vision is slowly fading while his dad's holding him in his arms, and he's crying out to his dad. And as a dad, you're like,
that really sucked.
Because you're protecting your children.
Yeah, that's so,
I should
that,
say
that
as a parent.
Really
Let me
sucked.
Correct myself.
Yeah, that
as
was
a parent. It's a parent. But then it goes from there to him.
Abby's. It's been too long since Abby's been with us.
Yeah, she's like, oh my god, the puns. God.
I'm getting the movie mixed up with the show, but they're pretty similar with how he loses his eyesight.
They're based off the same comic.
Yeah, they're based off the same comic, so. But yes.
But yeah, this for those of you who don't know, and I totally got to find my notes here to make sure I'm in the right place. So the story is about introducing the hero Matt Murdock, who's played by Charlie Cox in the show, and his partner Franklin Foggy Nelson, played by Eldon Henson, as defense attorneys. And the show's timeline picks up a bit after the movie Marvel's Avengers because there's references to the incident, which
right.
is the big fight that happened at the end of Marvel's Avengers.
I noticed that there was that. I noticed in Luke Cage there was references to the Avengers through there.
Yes,
and
the Silver Hammer. I can't be a hero because I don't have a magic hammer.
Well, not only that, there's the peddler on the street who is sitting there saying things like,
I have the best footage of the incident.
We're talking about the green monster, not what's his name, but the green monster, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I liked that. That was a lot of really nice continuity feeling to it.
Yeah, the cool thing about all these shows and Marvel in general is trying really hard to create a universe, the Marvel universe. And so if you watch all of these, you're rewarded by them referring to things that have happened.
Right. Like I've seen a number of episodes of Jessica Jones, and what we were just talking about is the actor in Jessica Jones that plays Luke Cage is the same actor who plays Luke Cage in
Luke Cage. Coulter.
So I thought that was really cool because it had been long enough since I'd seen Jessica Jones that I was like, is this an actor? I didn't want to sound stupid, but I'm going to sound stupid anyway. That's so okay. It was like, but I like him in both. I like both the actors that played Luke Cage. They were both really good actors. You know, and then you're like, it's the same actor guy.
No, there was a horrible movie with Ben Affleck. I actually know a person or two who liked it, and I will not mention them because I think I've erased their name from my memory. I thought the movie of Daredevil was horrible, and this is a great apology to that because the series captures the essence of someone who's there to defend the people. He's trying to defend them in his real life persona of a defense attorney, and then the things he can't pull off as a defense attorney, he turns vigilante and does at night, which becomes the classic superhero thing of, are you the hero that you pretend to be, or are you the human? Are you your persona or the alternate persona? And they touch on that a lot in the series.
What's your real mask type thing?
Yes.
I'm going to say that the Daredevil movie, I've seen worse. It's not good, though. I actually semi-enjoyed Ben Affleck in the role. Everyone else in that movie, though, was horrible. This show, if you're choosing between watching two seasons of a Netflix show about Daredevil or sitting down and watching the movie Daredevil, and then if you want to put yourself through torture, Elektra, go with the TV show. Take your time. Watch it. It is so good. It is so good.
And I think there's 13 episodes per season. I forgot to look that up.
I can find out. You want to find out?
We'll do that during break.
Okay.
But yeah.
So yeah, I want to say it's around there.
Pretty soon because we're, you know,
this is going to be an extra long show, which I figured out about 10 minutes in and we hadn't talked about Daredevil yet. So I'm warning you now, if you're listening to this, this is going to be an extra long show.
Or we'll just have the...
Warning you. Yeah. We're blessing you with more time of our beautiful voices.
It'll be a long rattle out.
I should specify that I'm judging Daredevil on fight scenes a lot.
Yeah.
Because the movie's fight scenes were horrible.
But the series was pretty solid. I like those
really
fights.
Really good, realistic, gritty fight scenes. So if you like martial art films and fight scenes, this has got it.
Yep.
And turn up the darkness on your TV.
I was noticing that there was an awful lot of, I see the sliver of a person there. Mm-hmm. I see a little silhouette of a person.
Actually, I would say that for all three of these shows.
They're all dark.
They're all, you know, it's, they all usually do their stuff at night. So if your gamma is down on your TV, turn it up a bit.
Luke Cage is in Harlem. And all the people are dark, too. And they're wearing dark suits. And it's like, I can't see anything. I don't even know who's talking.
It's worse that you watch it on, like, a phone-sized screen.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't help
what?
Any.
What?
Golly.
He has to watch it on a tiny screen to keep his kids
from seeing. I really was liking Luke Cage, and I was like, I don't know who's talking.
Yeah. you gotta bring up the bright. That's what I did. Once I did that with Daredevil, it was good. Because there's an amazing fight scene in a hallway with Daredevil.
Oh, my gosh.
That
Charlie Cox did almost all of that.
What?
Yeah, he did most of that. Isn't
I didn't
that
know
rad?
That he did his own stuff.
He did quite a bit. Like, there was a few stunts where he was like, I physically can't do that. And so they would get a stunt double in. But a lot of the fight scenes is him actually doing it.
Nice.
Which, go him. He is rad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also have to say, out of all of them, I really like the visual of the opening because they have this
painty
blood pouring on stuff. And so you can't see it, so it's almost like it's invisible, like you're blind. And then it fills up as it does it. So they're showing images of, like, Justice, which is blind.
Right.
Which
that's
Daredevil's blind.
Sort of part of the point of Daredevil.
And then images.
I also think that it's interesting because I remember when Daredevil was first coming out. You know, of course, Daredevil wears just like a sock over his head almost effectively in the first few episodes. And I remember people saying, is he ever going to look like he does in the comic? And I was like, that's interesting because the opening has him in his Daredevil costume like he's known for in the comics, which means he will. Just bear with us.
Frank Miller's Daredevil. But I know that one of the original versions of Daredevil, his costume looked a lot like his original costume in the series, like it's just a black stocking,
right?
And it's not till later. And then I believe the original 1960s version was like red and yellow. It was like
yellow fellow,
like what you would expect. It looked more like what you'd see like an acrobatic wear in the circus.
Yay, mustard and ketchup.
Because back in the days of, what did you say it was, the three-color printing? Or
four four-color printing.
That, you know, you had to make your characters.
It's offset, is what we called it, offset printing. And because of the offset printing, all of the colors would roll inside, because they were web presses, and it would roll. So what you end up with is it going through one roller, and it would put the blue down, then it would go through another roller and put the red down, then it would go through another roller and put the yellow down.
And if it got bumped?
And if anybody so much as sneezed on it, all of the colors would shift and move off.
What's really funny is that there's a lot of comics doing throwback issues recently, and
they bump the colors. Well, we don't have to anymore.
Well, it's like, it's all done digitally, so they do it digitally, and they're like, look, it's a throwback issue, and I'm like, you're ruining everything.
Yeah.
Stop it, please.
Batman.
All you're doing is making anybody who has any graphic arts skills at all cry.
Yeah, we're just sitting there like, I know you're trying to be retro, but it hurts.
It's just painful. We should go to a break.
So real quickly, I want to mention that Vincent D'Onofrio, I'm pronouncing his name horrible, sorry.
Oh, yeah,
Who was on, why is my brain shutting down? It was an awesome detective show. Was it one of the it wasn't one of the CSIs. It was one of the Law and Orders. He was on a Law and Order series as one of the characters. He did an amazing job in that, and his transformation to Wilson Fisk in this is amazing.
He is amazing in Daredevil. He does a great job of being like, oh, what a sweet little, oh my God.
It's the
you're horrifying.
For
type
a
thing.
Comic book show, the acting is really good.
Oh, yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
That's my last thing I'm saying about Daredevil. And then, yeah, we can go to break now.
No, I'm just, no.
Do you have anything last to say about Daredevil? You jerk.
I thought one of the things that really, just as a side note, in the first episode, we have the girl, I don't remember her name, who.
The main character?
The main, yeah.
That was Karen Page, played by Deborah Ann Wohl.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's German, Wohl.
I was noticing her makeup when she was. I was noticing the makeup whenever she was in the prison, or not in the prison, in the police holding.
Yes.
It was really cool, because they'd really made her eyes look very red. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's awesome makeup.
Yeah, she had gone through hell.
Yeah. She looked horrible. And I was like, nicely done, guys. Because usually, you know, you have your main girl, and you have to make her all look fluffy and beautiful and da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, yeah, in police custody... Right.
That's something that I like about the Marvel shows, is that they
don't have any problem roughing up the girls.
Yeah, well, and it's like, I'm sorry, but, and that's what we're going to talk about in Jessica Jones, but we'll talk about that later. But it's like, girls aren't va-va-voom all the time. That's ridiculous. Oh my gosh. That's ridiculous. Christ. But I did want to say something about his costume. I actually like his makeshift costume, which he has all the way till the very end of season one.
I like it too.
Yeah, and I actually like it more than the costume he gets end of season one, because you look at the costume he gets in season one and you're like, okay, that looks all right, I guess. It gets better in season two, but I think a lot of people also like the one at the beginning of season one because it's a lot easier to cosplay as, it's like, go you, Marvel Netflix. Make it easier to cosplay as your characters. That's great.
And from a practical standpoint, if you're out vigilanteing, you have to quickly not be vigilante, and you just take off the mask, and it's like, oh, I'm out for a jog, officer.
Blind, but I'm out for a jog.
It doesn't matter. It's nighttime.
I'm out for a cane tapping jog. Yeah.
Even though I chucked my cane over a wall back there, and I'll probably have to go buy a new one because I won't be able to find it.
The hell did my cane go this time? So this is why I don't do these movies, because that'd be my thing. Daredevil would go, it's something you do. Throws the cane, you hear, ow! Every time that would happen, there'd be somebody somewhere that the cane would hit.
The slapstick comedy of Daredevil.
Yeah, but he wouldn't hit anybody by accident, because he's just that good and knows where everything is.
Oh, yeah. He has the best sense of hearing.
He would throw the cane and it would go like in an umbrella case thing.
Yeah, like an umbrella
perfectly
holder.
Or hang up on a hat rack for him to get later.
So that would be the way we'd evolve our character.
Right.
Okay. Okay, we're going to go to a break. We'll be back right after this.
Hey everyone, I'm Emily Singer with Beyond the Trope, and if you like this show, you should totally check us out. We're at beyondthetrope.com and on all your social media and on iTunes and Stitcher.
And we're back. Okay. Our topic today is Marvelous Netflix. And first part of the segment, we talked about Daredevil. We're going to talk about Jessica Jones' assignment. Our guest host today is Abby.
Yo, yo.
Okay, well.
And Jessica Jones was your favorite so far, I think.
Yeah. Guy. Yeah, I like Jessica Jones a lot. Although I've got to say, I did enjoy Luke Cage when it came out, but we'll get to that in the third part of this.
As far as I know, Jessica Jones, out of the three, deviates from the comic the most.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
So I've not read the comic.
What I've seen of the comic, they actually kind of make fun of the comic a bit in the show. There's a scene where she's with her friend,
Trish,
and Trish is like, I got you a superhero costume. And it's like this hideous pink and like silver thing.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm not wearing that. Well, it's really funny because that is her costume in the comic, in the comic book.
I think she says something like, the only people who would wear that would be if it's for a Halloween costume or some kinky fantasy.
Yeah. And, I'm actually really glad that they didn't put her in her costume because there are some times where, like, especially with, like, the male superheroes, it's like, yeah, put them in their costumes. They're rad. But a lot of the female superheroes, they're not practical at all.
Female armor, like the College Humor female armor thing. Seriously, nothing here is protected.
It has the same hit points.
Yeah, but if I get hit in one place, I'm dead. Right. Well, that and the fact that a lot of like female armor is all like these breastplates that like show off the breasts, which that's a bigger hazard because now you have sharp metal that punched once and their whole entire sternum is devastated.
Nobody needs a sternum.
That's been a problem with comic books, and still an ongoing problem now, about how they dress and draw female characters is just not
practical or realistic. It's really weird because you can make like full body armor that looks sexy and cool, but doesn't have to be like boobs. I mean, it just still looks sleek and elegant, and it still looks really neat. And nobody wants to do that. They have to, like, have their, you know, midriff showing and, like, they have to be wearing a French cut. And you're just like, this doesn't protect you from anything.
It's just dumb. Like, there are some where, it doesn't matter. Like, there was somebody who was all like, I don't like the way they dress Wonder Woman. And I'm like, well, she is like a demigod, so, you know.
It doesn't really matter.
It doesn't really matter. Like,
it's
whatever
Doc
she
Manhattan
wants to wear,
thing,
cool.
Right?
She's pretty much.
It's like Doc Manhattan doesn't wear anything because he doesn't gotta.
Yeah,
I mean, really.
Exactly.
You're Superman. What difference does it make?
But then there's some, and you look at them, and you're like, I'm sorry, but do you have bulletproof skin?
Mm-hmm.
You don't? Then put something on top of it, please, and thank you.
Armor. Yeah.
It is. Luckily, in the TV show, Jessica Jones, that's not a problem.
Right.
They don't deal with it at all.
Mostly because she's just kind of like, I'm tired. Can I just wear what I was wearing to bed? Thank you very much.
I'm going to go drink now. I'm going to wake up drinking. And I'm going to just keep drinking.
Yeah, that's what I like.
And I don't care about the way I look, so get out of my face.
That's what I was really... You were saying this is the favorite of the three. I like it a lot because of that. She's very real. I mean, she's a very real person.
Yeah, the character, let me do what I did for Daredevil here. So the character was created by Brian Michael Bendis and artist Michael Gaidos. And she first appeared in Alias number one, not Jessica Jones number one. So she's a relatively new character, November 2001. And Jones is a former superhero who becomes the owner and sole employee of Alias Private Investigations. The comic book had her being a formal costumed superhero, retired and that, whereas the TV show, she did sort of superhero stuff, but not, she wasn't really known as a superhero.
Right.
So she just sort of tries to downplay her powers.
Right.
And makes her money doing detective stuff, filming people, the jaded husband or wife hiring them to, they think they're
like your classic PI stuff.
That is something I like about these shows is the fact that it's like a lot, like all of these characters are, they have powers. They are like superheroes, but the world is so acutely aware of them because of the Avengers stuff, because of the stuff that's happened in the Captain America movies and Iron Man and all that. that a lot of these people are like, I really don't want people to know, because people think that if you have superpowers, you should be a superhero, and I just want to live my life.
Right. Or worse,
which,
they think you're a freak.
They did make allusion to in Luke Cage, too.
Oh, definitely, mm-hmm. definitely.
Yeah, they don't want to bring attention to themselves.
Right.
And what's interesting, the way that Daredevil is a dark show, Jessica Jones has its own flavor of darkness, but it's a detective darkness. She's suffering from PTSD from being a prisoner of mm-hmm. the villain, who you mm-hmm. find that story unfolds throughout that series. And she has all the classic detective stuff from the old noir films, because she's a heavy drinker, she's super depressed, and in fact it goes as far as narrating her voiceover, which is old classic film noir style.
I think that might be one of the reasons why I'm attracted to that show. For that very reason, I love the old film noir effect mm-hmm. that they're pulling from that.
I agree. Jessica Jones is probably my favorite of the three. I haven't finished Luke Cage, but Jessica Jones is great. I also like the fact that they got David Tennant as Kilgrave.
Spoilers.
If you didn't know that, no, kidding. David Tennant is the villain in the show. And what's really great about him is that I know David Tennant from Doctor Who. I love David Tennant. He's a great actor, and he's just amazing. And he's very, very attractive. Like, he's a very attractive man. My two colleagues might not agree with me on that, but it is true. And what's really great...
I can say for a fact that my wife is in there on that.
Okay, cool.
And I might be, but, you know...
I can't admit to it.
Because then it'd be weird.
But what I really like about the show is that while there are people out there who are all like, who like him, I like the fact that he is a really good actor and that he does a good job of making me absolutely hate his character. Like, he is a horrible human being who thinks that he's just entitled to whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. And that is something that's in our society, but they do a good job of just showing the fact that while you can be a very attractive man with an amazing accent and stuff, that you can also be the devil himself.
Right.
Yes.
He's definitely a great example of power corrupting, because without giving it out too much away, he's really powerful in a very different way that you've seen in too much of the show, in not many of the shows. I guess to a degree, Loki, you see a little bit of what he does in Loki in the movie, but he has it to a much deeper extent in his abilities, and it truly is horrifying. His power is very horrifying in what it can do.
And I like good, solid horror, so I've been looking forward to it. I haven't gotten to the point, I just gotten to the point in Jessica Jones where we've met him.
Yeah.
So
it just keeps going, it
gets worse.
Worse.
Which is why I had to stop, was because I knew that I don't know if I could pull this off with my son there.
No, it's not his kid. You
with
can't.
My niece
not
now
for kids,
on
not
board.
For kids.
Yeah,
stuff,
you can't have any. Can't even have any line sight. So eye line sight or hearing of them. But something you touched on that I think is great with the three is how they each, in their own way, talk about something in society.
So
with Daredevil, it's looking at the cracks in our justice system.
Mm-hmm.
And with Jessica Jones, it's looking at the
cracks in her personality.
No, the how powerful people have entitlement and get away with stuff.
Yeah.
Like Brock Turner is an example. Mm-hmm. That's both also
how
society.
Sometimes people just kind of like, well, that's just the way that it is.
Yeah.
And you're
yeah.
like, but it shouldn't be that way. That's disgusting. Right. That's
absolutely.
The way you think that
I,
it should
be. I can
be.
Get away with this because I have all this power and money. Not,
and I've always
not
gotten
that that's
away with
topical.
It.
No.
We'll avoid that a little, I guess. And then, of course, Luke Cage, when we get to that also, it touches on the race issues.
Oh, yeah.
Really well, so.
And even the responses are race issues.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It cracks me up.
But Jessica Jones is the opening music also really helped. All three of these, the opening music really sets the tone for the shows.
Definitely.
So with Daredevil, it's dark. And then with Jessica Jones, it has a very private eye feel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then Luke Cage is the 70s soul feel.
Sort of Shaft.
Yep.
What you're talking about? No, hush your mouth.
Hush your mouth.
Oh, my gosh.
So anyway, Jessica Jones, like, if you're into detective stories, it's a good one. There is a lot of trigger word situations.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, if you have trigger words or trigger situations, especially dealing with, like, being manipulated or abuse in any way,
yeah.
really...
This is not a good one for you.
Really go in knowing... that is stuff that happens in the show. A lot of this has to do with being manipulated and being in abusive relationships that you can't feel like you can get out of, and dealing with guilt from doing things that weren't in your control. And that, I love Jessica Jones. It's amazing.
Right. And that's where
really
horror comes from in it.
Yeah.
Right. Which is one of the things that I was picking up on and thinking, because, you know, I like horror a lot, but we always have this problem with the horror genre always having jump scares, and I don't like jump scares.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those, it's hard for me to find horror that I can watch.
Yeah, this
and go,
is very psychologically
wow.
horror.
And I love psychological horror. So I've been really looking forward to getting back into Jessica Jones and following through.
I wouldn't really say that it's horror so much as thriller in this.
What happens is horrific, but when usually
wait,
people hear
have Michael Jackson and zombies?
Yeah, that'd be rad.
But, you know, most people think of Jason and Freddy when they hear horror.
Yeah, yeah.
This
is more on like
do this
a
thing
psycho
and
level,
yeah.
like a Alfred Hitchcock type
right.
Thriller.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff that I really
anxiety,
like. Well, it's like what
stuff
attracts
like
me to Walking Dead is a lot of that. It's not the zombies. There's a lot of messing with your mind, psychological crap in Walking Dead.
And what
that's
people,
really cool.
And what people become capable of
and
once there's no
capable.
Powers to stop them from
right.
doing it. So, do we still have time? Are we done? Or we can? You know,
no. Well, no. I mean, I think we should actually go on ahead and go to Luke Cage personally.
Luke Cage.
Well, we're going to go to a break first. So,
oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yes, because I want our fine audience to hear some music from Luke Cage before we talk about Luke Cage.
There you go.
Rad.
All right. So we'll be back after this.
And we're back. And that was the music of Luke Cage.
It was a theme song. It was composed by Adrian Young and Ali Shaheed Muhammad, who is one-third of the hip-hop trio A Tribe Called Quest, which I haven't heard in a really long time. You probably never heard them.
I've never heard them at all.
But yeah.
So we're here with Abby, who's got her name tag on her face.
That was her neck.
Hey.
Good anatomy there, Mr. Artist.
We're tired.
Shut up. Okay.
So this is our third segment, and we are going to be talking about Luke Cage, which just came out like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And for me, it came out last night because that was when I watched it.
Yesterday for me as well, yeah.
That was
yeah.
my homework assignment to my co-hosts was to watch the first episode of Luke Cage. So
I watched the first two episodes.
I watched the first two because I'm an overachiever.
Boom.
Yep.
And I finished it.
Because
so,
he's the most overachiever.
The one with the most
overachieverest
time.
There you go.
Of all of us.
Speaking of time, yes, we did look it up, and there are 13 episodes per season for these shows.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm,
there are two seasons of Daredevil and only one season so far of Jessica Jones and Luke Cage.
I think the next season of Jessica Jones is coming out beginning of this next year.
Yeah, but what I put into my notes, oh, you know what? She didn't make it onto the list, but she should be coming out for 2017, as will Iron Fist and The Punisher and The Defenders, which The Defender ties in everybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Daredevil season 3 got pushed back to 2018, which I think because Daredevil is in The Defenders, that's why that got pushed back.
Cool. It makes some sense.
And then we were talking about how they truly are 1 hour, or really close to 1 hour, unlike other TV shows that you watch, because they had time factored in for commercials, which were
right.
around about 45. Star Trek, I think.
Star Trek was what I was talking about, which is, you know, depending on which show you're watching is either 50 minutes or all the way down to like 43 minutes.
So we'll do what I did with the others. Luke Cage first appeared in American Comic Books, published... that's unnecessary. What I'm looking for is Luke Cage, Hero for Hire, episode number 1, 1972, and was created by Archie Goodwin, John Romita Sr., and George Tuska.
That's Romita.
Romita, thank you very much.
And it's issue, not episode, like
thank
what
you.
I've been
I
saying
do.
The whole time.
We've been having real problems with issue. We've been having issues with our issues.
Yeah, I'm having an episode.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. So, yes,
no
issue number 1 of Heroes for Hire. Hero for Hire. It originally started as a blaxploitation genre thing.
Yeah.
And I had actually hadn't read any comics, but I'd first heard of the way that I'd heard about Luke Cage first is that I'd heard, I don't know if this is a rumor or if there's fact to it, that Nicolas Cage changed his last name to Cage because of he's a fan of Luke Cage.
Well,
have you heard that?
Nicolas Cage is a huge comic book fan. Like,
he's a major nerd.
He named his son Kal-El.
Nice. Nice.
Which, if
that's super.
Literally look up his son. It is so weird. But yeah, I know he's a huge comic book fan. He actually was possibly going to play Superman in a movie back in the 90s, I want to say.
Hearing that, yes.
Around the same time that the Tim Burton Batman movies were coming out, there was a rumor that he was going to be Superman, which I don't know about you, but I'm really glad that didn't happen.
Yeah. Was that the same one that Kevin Smith was going to write the script for?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, he walked out because
nobody ever does weird names, Frank Zappa, I'm looking at you, of their children.
But yeah, that might be a possibility. I'm not 100% on that, though. I'm not a big fan of Nicolas Cage. He can stop making movies, please. And but no, that is a big possibility, though. He's a huge comic book fan.
He changed his last name to Cage because he's a fan of Luke Cage and Iron. And so it's Power Man and Iron Fist. And it turns out that that's not where his origin is from. They got tied together because they were separate comics. But then as the craze for martial art films and blaxploitation was dying out, they tried to combine the two characters to keep the comic going.
To form Voltron.
Yep. I'll form this cool jazzy head.
And they create the Heroes for Hire.
Yes.
Which, the way I know them is that Deadpool, in his comics recently, have been bothering them. And they really don't like him, which is fun. And that's also something else, is that the Deadpool comic, Mercs for Money, was originally Deadpool wanted to call them Heroes for Hire. And then Luke Cage and Iron Fist are like, we're going to sue you for that. And he's like, fine, we're Mercs for Money. And... yeah.
That sounds like Deadpool.
Yeah, it's definitely more Deadpool. And there's, yeah. So most of my experience with these characters is that they all hate Deadpool. So there you go.
Which there's a really long line.
Oh, there are like maybe three that like him nowadays. So maybe four. I think like him and Captain America are friends. And he's friends with, of course, Cable. They're like BFFs. He's on good terms with Rogue and Spider-Man, but
for how long?
Well, Spider-Man and Deadpool have a comic together right now, so hopefully for a while. But no, as far as I'm concerned, Luke Cage hates his guts and never wants to see him again.
That would make sense. Luke Cage is played by Mike Coulter, as we mentioned before, who does make he's in a few episodes of Jessica Jones, and they in the comic book world they have a much deeper tie that I'm going to just sort of leave. Ambiguous, because I might give away spoilers, because they're probably headed there with the show.
If you don't know who this actor is and you're a video gamer, he plays Spartan Locke in Halo 5. Mm. And in the Halo miniseries Nightfall, he's a really phenomenal actor. Absolutely love him. That's where I originally really saw him in get his acting chops together.
Nice.
No, he does a really great job as Luke Cage. Really good actor.
And that's what we were talking about that before, because I was like, hey, they really did a great job with Luke Cage getting an actor. It looks just like Luke Cage in Jessica Jones.
Right. It's like they planned it out.
It's
or
like
something.
They planned it. He looks exactly the same.
How do you pronounce
Rosario her? Dawson.
Thank you. Rosario Dawson plays Claire Temple, and she's also Claire Temple in Daredevil.
She's also in Jessica Jones as well. Is she in Luke Cage?
She's in Luke Cage.
Oh.
So they have these actors. I totally forgot that she's in Jessica Jones.
She is. There's an episode with Luke Cage and Jessica Jones where she has to, like, Jessica has to bring Luke in for into the hospital, mm-hmm. and she gets Claire to help her with him because she's dealt with people with powers before.
Yes.
So Rosario Dawson plays somebody.
The nurse.
She plays a nurse.
You haven't ran into her yet in Daredevil because you were only in the first episode.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying I recognize the actress. So.
She was in Sin City. And
that's why I recognize
she's been
that.
In
several.
A lot of things. She's another really great actress, and I absolutely love her character.
Well, that's what I was saying. I recognized the name and thought, I like her in other things. I don't know what. I can't think of what she's in, but Sin City, that makes sense.
I'm really glad that she's in Luke Cage. I haven't gotten that far yet.
Yeah.
And because I like the fact that she's the character that's combining all of them together. She is the one that spans all three.
She's
and it
gluey.
makes sense. It doesn't feel like they're stretching, to me at least, in the plot
right.
that it works, because it is all New York.
Yeah, and I mean, she is a nurse in a major hospital, so mm-hmm. if they're going to go to the hospital and they are people with powers, she's probably the one that's going to be dealing with them because she knows how to deal with them.
Yeah.
Right.
And then they're in both Jessica Jones and Luke Cage. There's also references to Daredevil because the, hey, I know a good lawyer.
Yeah.
Yeah, or I think it's the second episode. There's a character that's like, you guys are crazy in Harlem. I'm going back to Hell's Kitchen. And I'm just like, have fun with that.
Yeah. So one of the things that I was noticing is I could spend like forever in the barber shop. I just love, I don't know what it was, but that barber shop. I was like sitting there going, this is just awesome. I'd want to play chess there with.
There's a movie that I've not yet seen called Barbershop, but that is part of the culture. That is where you go.
Well, and even from the South, from where I'm from, that's just the way barbershops were. And that's what, I mean, I remember when I was younger going with my grandfather and sitting in barbershops and doing that.
I want to note that all of us are extremely white. So if, if we're offending anybody with talking about Luke Cage and the race issues and stuff, we're not trying to. We're just trying to come at it from our perspective in this, because there is a lot of race issues with Luke Cage. There is a lot of stuff dealing with that in this show.
Backlash, strangely enough, too.
Yeah,
I mean, that was a weird thing I saw, too, was like people were upset because there wasn't enough white people.
Or they were saying the few white people are bad guys.
Which,
and I'm like, this is Harlem?
Yeah, and you need to understand that white people are like the number one villain to black people. Keep this in mind. So they're
not to try to spoil things, but the big super evil villains in it aren't white.
Nope.
So
it's all internal culture. But the thing that gets me is that this whole culture is pretty much, I mean, I hate to say this, but all the people who are in Harlem are in Harlem because of laws and rules that we had in effect during the 40s, the 30s, 40s, and 50s, mm-hmm. blockbustering and redlining. So, I mean,
well, it's kind of like making a movie that's set in China and then somebody complaining that most of the cast is Chinese.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like Harlem's that way because we sort of as a culture locked them into Harlem. So
right.
A lot of people are stuck in Harlem because
They even talk about that, how Harlem is where a lot of black history has happened, where a lot of that stuff is still really seen as, like, it's a big part of their culture there. So it's like, if you're expecting there to be, like, a white cast in there, then
it would look out of place.
Oh, yeah. And
it would be really weird.
People are so sick of whitewashing. Stop it. Just stop it. And the fact that it's like the other two shows, Daredevil and Jessica Jones, have very few black characters in New York City.
Right.
Like, come on, guys.
Well, and that's another thing. My mom used to be a talent agent, and that was one of her things. It's an ongoing joke. Just stay with us, Abby.
I thought we weren't going to like step up to the plate on these today.
That's the other thing. Your mom has been an ongoing thing. So
yeah, we're good.
I haven't been here long enough.
Listening.
Sorry,
yeah,
we haven't brought up your mom yet, but we will.
Don't. She is a lovely human being.
She's a lovely human being.
Your mom.
I will jump this table.
Yeah, but she was a talent agent. And one of the things I remember hearing a lot of in the 80s and 90s was that her black talent were always relegated to the guys that came in and robbed a store. And you had these wonderful, awesome actors with such diversity and such range, and they could do nothing but be robbing stores, and that was it. And one of the things I really loved about watching Luke Cage was, here we have finally some of these guys, these wonderful actors, and they're finally able to spread their wings and actually act and actually pull good performances and do interesting things, you know, and they're not just relegated to thug number one or thug number five or whatever.
Typecasting is a disease in the entertainment industry that needs to be cured, personally.
Yeah, it does, because, I mean, I was just sitting there thinking about this whenever we were talking about Mike Coulter specifically. I was like, gosh, that guy's solid. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got some silly lines because he's got a comic book character. And it's like he's managing to make them sound convincing and solid.
His character's like a convincing character of, I don't want any attention. I just want to live my life.
Right. I mean, he's like, you know, picking up washing machines and stuff like that. And it's just like, no, I just pick up washing machines. It's all good. Mm-hmm. You know, I just, you know, I capture bullets with my hand. It's all good.
Whatever.
And he's managing to pull this out. And I'm like sitting there going, you know, this would be too easy for somebody to make it campy and stupid.
As far as acting goes, for both of you, since you only got two episodes in, as it gets further in, he gets some really good drama stuff to deal with that will pull on your heartstrings.
You're
like, a good story is about character development, and they do, all of these shows do a really good job of that.
Awesome.
And right.
I will warn you if you're sensitive to the N-word, which I am.
Yes, oh definitely.
But it is part of the culture.
It's part of the culture.
And the whole show, for me, I'm looking into it as an outside thing of like, this is a 101 class on black culture because I'm getting to see stuff that I don't get to see normally since I'm not there. And I can feel like they're presenting it to me in a realistic or an honest, I should say, way. Yeah.
And again, talking about that, this show is not for children.
No.
This show is not for children. Do not... You know, unless you're
like
whatever,
don't take your
kids. Don't let your kids watch this. Yeah. If you are sensitive to
racial slurs,
or sex scenes, or extreme violence, don't watch this show.
There are execution style murders.
Yes,
and deaths.
There are crunchy skull punchings.
Yeah,
I noticed.
Out of all of them, it did have the least amount of violence and the least amount of sex out of the two. Because Daredevil definitely had the top with the violence, especially season two when they introduced the Punisher, my favorite character.
Oh yeah.
And and Jessica Jones was all over with the sex, which was like, oh wow. But
beds are broken.
Yes.
Beds are broken.
And that's how you know it was a good time was had by all.
Good time was had
so
by all.
So if a bed's not broken, you're not doing it right. But these shows are not for children.
Like, that's a waste of a bed, man. If you're going to break the bed, just do it on the floor.
That's why you get them
Wouldn't you break the floor?
Well, like in martial arts, you have these boards that are meant to be broken and put back together again. So you have one of those beds that's designed that it'll break after a certain amount of force, but then it just connects back together again. It's like
Velcro.
Like,
it's amazing.
No, it's like the special. Never.
I'm too tired for this.
You are.
Somehow we drafted Abby to come.
But
I overslept.
The thing that I'd like to point out too about Luke Cage that I like, because each of them have something I really love, the music in this is like the star.
Oh yeah.
And what it reminded me of actually was the old Buffy TV series, the way the Brass, which was the club they hung out at, they would introduce bands, live performances at the Brass, and they're bands that you might not have heard of, and you're like, this is a really good band. And now I want to hear more of their stuff.
Right.
And now quite a few of the music live performances that they have, because I believe it's called the Harlem Paradise is the name of the club, I believe, that the bad guy has as his place. And the band that they feature, the music really adds to the theme of that episode. And it's a good band.
Mm-hmm.
And if you hadn't heard them before, you can do the, oh, wow, I want to hear that. And the theme song really captures the 70s style, like we'd mentioned. But the live performances are just great in that. And this would be the soundtrack to buy out of all three if you're going to get the soundtrack out of any of them.
Definitely, definitely. The music is amazing in this show.
So I had to jump in there with that before we ran out of time.
As we illustrated
not that we're not that we're necessarily running out of time.
As we said, this is going to be an extra long episode.
Yeah, the culture, the thing that they really touch on that I'm sure was not in the comics because it wasn't topical at the time, but it's the main character wears a hoodie often to disguise himself.
This show is amazing because it's about a bulletproof black guy who wears a hoodie, and that's...
And gets shot a lot.
And gets shot a lot, and it is amazing.
Which I was trying to decide, amazing. Would that be, and his name's totally escaping me in that controversy because I don't care to remember the guy's name.
Trevann.
Not the victim, the one who shot him.
What's his name? George somebody.
Forget him.
The forget him guy.
George forget him.
I'm wondering if that would be like that he would love having someone that he could just shoot repeatedly in a black hoodie, or if that would be like his worst nightmare. I'm hoping it's his worst nightmare, and I'm hoping he just constantly has nightmares about it.
I do too.
So
and politics again.
And again.
But now, no,
I do kind of want to give... I have a friend who's into guns. I do want to give him one of my hoodies and have him shoot it up, and that would be something I'd like to wear.
That'd be cool, yeah.
Because they start doing that in the show.
That is something that... there's been a couple interviews that is something that they thought about, that they actually... That is on purpose. That's not like a... Oh, we just wanted to put him in a hoodie. That was something that they did on purpose for the show, which I am really happy they did that because...
It's a really
again,
good
something.
Statement about
well, and,
that.
And one of the reasons we're having a lot of these problems in our culture is because of bad press and bad media. And this is positive media.
We're getting a hero.
Like you're
in
talking about back in the 70s and 80s with the typecasting, and even to a degree today, it's creating this image of like you better be afraid because that's a person that's not white in a hoodie, so they must be up to no good.
Must be up to no good.
Which is such a horrible thing for people to be pushing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I mean, if you're going to be concerned about people, be concerned about white men because they're the ones who cause most of the shootings in America.
Be concerned about the Kilgraves who are going to manipulate you with their
good looks. Attractive men who literally think they're entitled to everything. watch out for them.
That's me. They're looking at me because I'm the one.
How
the attractive one here.
Dare you, guy?
I'm the attractive one, and I know it. I know it.
He thinks he's a man.
I think I'm a man.
What is he? A dragon?
I was thinking.
Come
Scrabble.
On! Did you notice that?
It's dragon.
My
on.
Wings.
Crossover characters to shift from the heaviness of this.
And that was left, and now we're back.
And I'm totally butchering everybody's name. I believe Simone Missique?
I don't know.
Plays Misty Knight, who is a detective in the show. And the name, I kept thinking, that sounds really familiar, and it wasn't towards the end of the series that I kind of placed it. There is a comic book series called Daughters of the Dragon. And it's Colleen Wing and Misty Knight are bell bondsmen that hunt down superpowered people that skip their bells. And Misty Knight is bionic arm and Colleen Wing is the martial arts expert. And it's the same Misty Knight character. And they hint at Colleen Wing in a very subtle way in one episode that if you're not looking, you're going to miss it. But I also noticed watching the previews for the Iron Fist, that is clearly Colleen Wing's character in it. So they might be setting up for the future for like 2019, 2020, Misty Knight and Colleen Wing's Daughters of the Dragon.
And see, that I could get into.
What's really funny is I'm the comic book expert, and I had no idea.
It was an obscure comic.
Yeah.
A lot of these are obscure, which is interesting that they're going with that.
Well, that's
actually,
that's something I'm liking about the Netflix shows, is that these are characters that if you're not really into the comics, you won't know who they are. And
Which is a very safe way to do it.
Oh, yeah.
You're not going to upset fans.
Because there's not a lot of them.
Yeah.
I had the only reason I know at all is because I had a challenge once, an art challenge to draw Daughters of the Dragon.
Nice.
And it was part of so I had to go, I don't even know who these people are, so I had to go look them up, and then I had to study them, and then I was like, oh, hey, they're pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a picture, you know, a pinup of the Daughters of the Dragon, and it was really cool.
And I only know about it because I think one of their comics was in a clearance section, and I'm like, that looks cool, and I bought it.
Yeah.
And so that's how I
knew. Well, once I did the research on it, I'm like, I'd actually be interested in reading this comic.
Yeah.
Even though it also kind of comes from the blaxploitation era.
Yeah, because her character has a giant afro.
She has like
and
a
like
afro.
Like all the superheroes, the skin tight jumpsuit, which
was
you
she
will
in like
see briefly
a,
in the show.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of that.
Okay.
Was it like a disco jumpsuit with like the flare or the bottom?
With a flared belt
and with the shoulders exposed, but there's still sleeves.
Yep. If you're going to do a skin-tight outfit, have it be a disco outfit,
right.
Like, all the way, because...
That at least makes sense.
Yeah, that's actually something that people used
then
to wear.
Then he could have Dazzler.
No.
The superhero created
Stop
because
it.
Of disco.
Stop it.
What was it, Cloak and Dazzler?
Discler.
Cloak and Dazzler? Or
it's Cloak and Dagger, and I'm pretty sure those are DC characters.
No, but there is a Dazzler character.
There is a
Dazzler. Looks like Dagger, because it's a white jumpsuit with bell bottoms.
Oh, yeah. Again... I know her from Deadpool.
And I think her
Deadpool.
Special power is shooting lights.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Jubilee.
Right.
Where it's like, good. Whoa, here's some fireworks from my fingertips. Mm-hmm. I can do so much for 4th of July, and that's about it. I'm sorry. If you guys haven't looked up X-Men, and that's E-X-Men by Pete Holmes, I totally suggest it. It's pretty much about... Professor Xavier firing X-Men who are useless. It's absolutely hilarious if you just want a good laugh.
On YouTube, you mean?
That's on YouTube. At least it was. I think part of it might have been deleted, but I think you can still find it. EX-Men. And those are hilarious because he makes fun of all of those X-Men that you're like, why are you here?
Why are you here?
They are very funny. He also did some with Mortal Kombat.
Oh, that's Street Fighter Red Tape.
I'm sorry. That's Street Fighter music. No, it's not.
No, but we're really, between you and I, we really are not doing so good with our phones. Abby's phone, she threw it in the trash can a while ago, so it's okay.
My phone's always on vibrate, and never answer.
That was not my phone being a phone call. It was an alarm set to say it's 1 o'clock.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You know what? It's 1 o'clock.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
For me, that means I have an hour before I need to start getting ready to go get my kids.
Oh.
Which does sort of mean that we should probably get to final
Wrap
comments.
Up.
So, do we have any final comments about
go
all
see
of
Pete
this
Holmes
stuff?
Videos.
I'm excited for Iron Fist.
Yeah.
I have a question. Is he in Luke Cage doll? Do you see him at all?
No. That character, as far as I know, is not in there.
Okay.
And from what I understand about the comics, they're changing. Because I believe in the comics, he's just a baby when he's taken in by the people who train him to be a martial artist, and then this, he's already grown. He's like a teenager. So they change his origin slightly.
Okay.
So I don't think they introduce him in it.
Okay, well, that's cool. One thing I did like about the first episode of Luke Cage is there is a part where this person's like, we want to hire you. And he goes, I'm not for hire. And I'm like, yeah, you are.
Not yet.
Not secretly. Yet. But you're going to be the hero for hire.
Well, he makes a good point of the, I'm going to help people and I don't expect to get paid for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That will change.
That will change. Well, you got to feed yourself.
Well, I mean, yeah. If you're like, and that's always been my thing.
He runs through clothes so much. You got to pay for it somehow.
That's always been my thing with like the whole like thing about if you have a superpower, are you going to be a villain or a hero? And I've always been like, why would you be a hero? You don't get paid. You don't get vacation time because you're on the villain's time schedule. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a villain, you can be all like, I'm going to have this heist on Tuesday. So that means I can, you know, have a nice lunch on Monday, maybe go see a movie Tuesday morning.
Reschedule it, you know? If you're feeling sick.
Yeah, I'm not feeling up for it. I can just do that
the
next day.
You got to show up even if you're sick.
Yeah, and that's you know, if you're going to be a hero for hire.
Now, there's the next story. You know, I was a superhero, but
the benefits suck.
And the timing sucks. So now I'm a supervillain instead because it can do everything.
I mean, kind of a way. That's
touching
on Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
That's why she's a private eye. She's doing it for money.
Yeah.
Yeah, because being a hero doesn't pay. Sadly, it makes you feel good inside, but that doesn't help your bank account.
You need sponsors.
I was noticing that when I was thinking about that with Daredevil. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you know, fourth day, fifth day, and he's got to go out there. It's raining. And he's like, and I'm like, do superheroes ever do the, you know what, screw it. I'm just going to stay in bed tonight.
They do, but then they always have that moment where it's like, I'm guilty because someone might die. And you're like, you're killing yourself because you ain't getting enough sleep.
What's interesting with his character, too, is he's got a lot of self-hatred. And so he's mean to himself because he doesn't like himself. And to some degree, you see that with Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
And then
that's
with
her
Luke Cage,
problem.
He has a lot of guilt, but it's a different angle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I definitely, if you're into superhero shows and you're over the age of 16.
Yeah.
I
guess I should technically say 18, because I think that's what MA for mature audiences is recommended.
Yeah,
18.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they're all good. And each one... Although they're all tied together, have their own different flavors, and they're worth checking out.
And Between you and I, we really haven't done Abby any good, I've noticed.
Well, unfortunately, we're on the same mic line, too, so I can't cut you out.
I'm seriously just going to crawl up under this table and go back to sleep.
They're probably fine with that, but I definitely recommend them all. And for me, like Daredevil, I think, took a couple of episodes to get into. So if you are going to jump into it, I would say try to give them at least two or three episodes worth of watching
before
you give up on it.
Daredevil was a little slow for me. But I mean, I know you guys like it, so I'm going to keep watching.
Yeah. Daredevil is, I mean, I like all of them. I need to continue watching Luke Cage, obviously, because I've only seen two episodes, so we'll see where it goes. But out of the three, Jessica Jones is by far my favorite, though.
Right. Well, cool.
All right.
Well, that's all the time we have for today, although that was, you know...
We can do extra long ones occasionally.
We can do extra long ones. Well, yeah.
Especially when I'm here, because we just banter.
Well, we gotta apply extra time for a third person.
Because I'm rad.
We do. And we don't have you here that often. We should have you here more.
Yeah. Here's hoping my work schedule will work out with that.
I was gonna say, that might be a good luck with that, but we're trying. Okay, well, our music, as we were talking about, is from Luke Cage and from Daredevil.
Daredevil
from,
in the beginning. Daredevils, I guess you'd like to mention it's from John?
John?
Paisano.
Paisano.
I'm going to make that. Paisano. You know, just look up Luke Cage theme music. Look up Daredevil theme music.
Because we have been butchering names today.
Yeah, we have been. We've been really rough on the names today.
It's not like they give us a pronunciation chart with the names.
No, they don't.
If only.
Well, you can talk to us on Twitter at RMGeekTank or Facebook at Facebook.com/RockyMountainGeekTank. Or you can email us at questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com.
Yeah, you definitely write to us because we don't know if you're out there or not.
We don't.
We're so lonely.
You know, talking in a vacuum.
You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, and YouTube. Just search for Rocky Mountain Geek Tank. And boom, there we are. Be sure to give us likes and stars because that way it also validates us and we know you're there then.
And we need validation.
They need validation. I don't. Whatever.
Well, that's why you're here to validate us.
Otherwise, we have to pay for parking.
Oh, I'm your validation.
Yeah.
Okay, I have the punch card so I can validate
your
parking.
You can validate the parking. Special thanks to our guest host, Abby.
That's me.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you have any place where we can find you on the web?
Yet?
Or is
at
that
some point
along?
You will have your art.
Yeah, I'm going to have my art up eventually, but right now, no.
Stay tuned.
No.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys have questions for me, just kind of give it to Geek Tank and they'll
once that's
forward
up,
them.
We'll be sure to make an announcement on
we'll
our Geek Tank Facebook
it.
Page.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, I've been Guy.
I've been Troy.
And I've been Abby.
And this is Geek Tank.
Geek Tank is a production of Foxblade Media and is protected under the Creative Commons 3.0 license. Your hosts today were Guy S. Davis and C. Troy Floor. Kevin Weibler is our engineer. And our music was composed by David Coyle. If you like what you are hearing, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/Foxblade. I'm Mike Davis, reminding you to lather, rinse, and repeat. Good night.